Chapter 122. Hydraulic Power Steering Systems. Hydraulic Power Steering Systems. Purpose and Function. Power-assisted steering hydraulically boosts the mechanical steering gear operation so the driver can turn the steering wheel with less effort for the same response. Hydraulic power steering has been available since the 1950s, and many late model systems are enhanced by electronic controls. Fundamentals. Hydraulics is the study of liquids and their use to transmit force and motion. Hydraulic systems transmit force and motion through the use of fluid pressure. The terms used and their meaning include force. Force is a push or pull acting on an object and is usually measured in pounds of force or newtons. Pressure. Pressure is measured in force per unit of area, such as pounds per inch (2 abbreviated, PSI, or kilopascals abbreviated, KPA. 1 PSI is equal to 6.9 kilopascals. Pascal's law. The Pascal is a unit of measure named after the French scientist Blaise Pascal, who studied the behavior of fluids in closed systems. One of his discoveries, known as Pascal's law, states, when force is applied to a liquid confined in a container or an enclosure, the pressure is transmitted equally and undiminished in every direction. Hydraulic systems can transmit force and motion through liquids because, for all practical purposes, a liquid cannot be compressed. No matter how much pressure is placed on a liquid, its volume remains the same. This allows a liquid to transmit force much like a mechanical lever. See Figure 122-1. The advantage of a liquid over a mechanical lever is that a liquid has volume but does not have a fixed shape. Because it assumes the shape of its container, a liquid can transfer force through pipes and passages of any shape. A liquid can also decrease or increase the force it transmits depending on the area of the output surface to which the force is applied. See Figure 122-2. Refer to Figure 122-1. Hydraulic fluid transmits the same force whether it passes through a single chamber or two chambers connected by a narrow passage. Refer to Figure 122-2. A fluid applies a force equal to the applied force on a surface that is equal in size to the applying surface. If the surface is half the size, then the fluid exerts half the force. If the surface is twice as large, the fluid exerts twice the force. Refer to Figure 122-3. A typical integral power steering pump when the pump is mounted inside the reservoir. Power steering pump and reservoir. Parts and operation. The power steering pump draws fluid from the reservoir, pressurizes it, and delivers it to the power steering system. A power steering pump produces a high pressure stream of fluid, typically in the 1500 psi, or 10500 kilopascals, range. A reservoir stores power steering fluid. The fluid reservoir may be either integral to, or built into, the pump or remotely mounted and connected to the pump by a hose. The power steering fluid reservoir is usually made of either plastic or stamped metal, and it includes the fluid filler neck, cap, and dipstick. An integral reservoir is part of the pump, and the pump itself operates submerged in power steering fluid. See Figure 122-3. Remote reservoirs. Although once common, steering pumps with an integral reservoir have given way to those with a remote reservoir on many current production vehicles. This is because the remote reservoir allows for a smaller, more compact pump assembly that is better suited to the cramped engine compartment of a modern vehicle. A remote reservoir is a separate assembly from the pump and provides fluid to it through a suction hose. See Figure 122-4. Refer to Figure 122-4. Typical remote reservoir. Refer to Figure 122-5. Typical power steering pump assemblies. Forces and pressures involved. A typical power steering system requires only 2 to 3.5 pounds, or 0.9 to 1.6 kilograms, of driver effort to turn the steering wheel. Most power steering systems use an engine-driven hydraulic pump. Power steering hydraulic pumps are usually belt-driven from the front crankshaft pulley of the engine. Pumps come in many sizes and styles. See Figure 122-5. The power steering pump delivers a constant flow of hydraulic fluid to the power steering gear or rack. A typical power steering pump requires less than half horsepower, which is less than 1% of engine power while driving straight ahead. Even while parking at low speed, the power steering requires only about 3 horsepower while providing high hydraulic pressures. Typical pressures generated by a power steering system include the following. Straight ahead less than 150 psi, or 1,400 kilopascals. Cornering about 450 psi, or 3,100 kilopascals. And parking, maximum, 750 to 1400 psi, or 5200 to 10000 kilopascals. Types of pumps. The power steering pump drive pulley is usually fitted to a chrome-plated shaft with a press fit. The shaft is applied to a rotor with vanes that rotate between a thrust plate and a pressure plate. See Figure 122-6. When the engine starts, the drive belt rotates the power steering pump pulley and the rotor assembly inside the power steering pump. Centrifugal force and hydraulic pressure push the vanes of the rotor outward into contact with the pump ring. The shape of the pump ring causes a change in the volume of fluid between the vanes. As the volume increases, the pressure is decreased in the space between the vanes and draws in fluid from the pump reservoir. When the volume between the vanes decreases, the pressure is increased and flows out the pump discharge port. See Figures 122-7, 122-8, and 122-9. Control valve. The pressure outlet hose connects to a fitting that threads into the outlet port of the pump body. A modulator valve, commonly called a flow control valve, installs in the same bore as the hose fitting. See Figure 122-10. The modulator valve is a spring-loaded pressure relief device that bleeds off excess pressure to prevent system damage. When pump output is more than what the power steering system requires, the excess pressure overcomes spring force and moves the valve down in its bore. This uncovers an orifice through which the fluid can flow back into the inlet passages. An orifice is a small opening that regulates fluid pressure and flow. It can be a restriction in a fluid line or a hole between two fluid chambers. The opening is called a variable orifice because the size of the opening varies with the amount of pressure applied to the valve. When fluid pressure is not high, spring force keeps the valve seated so that all of the pressurized fluid flows through the outlet port and into the pressure hose. Because the engine drives the pump, the power steering pump places a load on the engine whenever the engine is running. The pressure increases when the steering wheel is turned to its full stop in either direction. To handle the excess pressure, a pressure relief passage runs from a point near the pressure hose fitting to the spring end of the modulator valve. Inside the passage is a pressure relief valve. The spring end of the modulator valve forms a seat for the pressure relief check ball. Under normal circumstances, the check ball remains seated. The parts of the pressure relief valve include the spring, the valve piston, the check ball, and the seat. A shim installs on the check ball seat to adjust the pressure at which the check ball unseats to open the pressure relief valve. Normally, the spring force holds the piston against the check ball to keep it in its seat. When pressure becomes excessive in the pressure relief passage, the check ball raises off its seat to allow fluid to flow through the relief passage and out through an orifice in the modulator valve. See Figure 122-11. The pressure when this occurs varies from 750 to 1400 psi, or 5200 to 10000 kilopascals, depending on the calibration of the pressure relief valve. When power steering systems are pushed to the limit, most will make a chattering or squealing noise until the pressure is reduced. Refer to Figure 122-6. General Motors Vane Type Pump. Refer to Figure 122-7. Vane Pump Operation. In Phase 1, the rotor moves past the opposed suction ports, and the vanes move out to maintain contact with the ring. This creates a low pressure area, drawing fluid into the cavities formed by the vanes. As the rotor continues to move during Phase 2, the vanes follow the contour of the ring. The contour of the ring forms a larger cavity between the vanes. This increases the suction and draws more fluid into the pump. Refer to Figure 122-8. Vane Pump Operation, continued. At Phase 3, the vanes are at the end of the intake port of the pump and the cavity has reached its maximum volume. In Phase 4, the rotor moves into alignment with the opposed discharge ports. Refer to Figure 122-9. Vane Pump Operation, continued. As the rotor continues to move during Phase 5, the volume of the cavity decreases, which increases the discharge pressure. At Phase 6, the last phase, the contour of the ring results in the minimum cavity volume, and the discharge of fluid is completed. Refer to Figure 122-10. Flow Control Valve. Refer to Figure 122-11. The pressure relief check ball unseats, allowing fluid to flow back into the pump inlet if the pressure rises above a certain limit. Power steering hoses. Because the power steering pump and the steering gear are not part of the same assembly, the system requires two hoses to connect the power steering pump and gear assembly. The pressure hose is connected to the flow control/relief valve. This hose supplies pressurized fluid to the steering gear. The second hose is called the return hose, and it returns the fluid from the steering gear back to the pump. Some vehicles will use a cooler in the return path to the pump. The cooler is used to reduce the temperature of the fluid before it enters the pump. The cooler is often a length of metal line that is routed in the airstream under the vehicle so that air flowing past it will cool the fluid inside the line. See Figure 122-12. Refer to Figure 122-12. The power steering fluid cooler, if used, is located in the return hose. Often the cooler is simply a length of return metal line that is arranged in a loop and routed near the front of the vehicle. The airflow past the return line helps reduce the temperature of the fluid. Frequently asked question. What is the purpose of the PSB switch in the high pressure line under certain conditions, such as when the steering wheel is turned to or near full stop for more than a few seconds, pressure builds in the system and the pump must work harder to keep up with the demand. As a result, the pump draws more power from the engine. If the engine is running at idle, the extra load can cause it to stall. A pressure switch, known as the power steering pressure, or PSP, switch, transmits an electronic signal to the powertrain control module, abbreviated PCM, when the pressure in the system is high enough to increase the load on the engine. In response to the PSP switch signal, the PCM increases the engine idle speed to prevent stalling. Integral power steering. Purpose and function. In an integral power steering system, the control valve and a power piston which applies force to the pitman arm are incorporated into the steering gear construction. The control valve regulates the application of pressurized fluid against the power piston, and the power piston helps move the pitman arm when pressure is applied to one side of it. Integral standard steering gear. Most standard steering gears with power assist are the recirculating ball type, and the ball nut functions as the power piston. The steering gear is lubricated from the power steering fluid that is flowing through the unit. Hydraulic pressure from the steering gear control valve is applied directly against the ball nut to help move it through the housing. The ball nut in this type of power steering gear is called the power piston because hydraulic pressure moves it as if it were a piston traveling in a cylinder. See Figure 122-13. Rotary control valve. A rotary control valve is a two-piece assembly that operates by rotating an inner valve within an outer valve. A steering gear with a rotary control valve is also a torsion bar steering gear, because a small torsion bar is used to control valve movement. The rotary control valve consists of two cylindrical elements. Number 1. Inner valve element. And Number 2. Outer valve element. The inner valve element is secured to the steering gear input shaft and the torsion bar. In the valve, the inner element and the input shaft are one piece, and the torsion bar attaches between them, connecting the inner valve element and the input shaft. See Figure 122-14. The inner element assembly fits inside the outer valve element, and is also secured to the torsion bar by a pin. The outer valve element is also the steering worm gear. The torsion bar acts as a spring between the two elements to allow movement between them when the steering shaft turns. The spring force of the torsion bar tends to pull the elements back to their neutral positions when the steering wheel is released or returned to center. The strength of the torsion bar determines steering feel. A weak torsion bar moves easily and provides soft steering, while a strong bar resists movement and makes steering feel firm. Many high-performance vehicles use a steering gear that has a thicker torsion bar to increase the firmness of the steering. The surfaces of the inner and outer elements have grooves machined into them through which fluid can flow. Passages carry fluid from some of the inner element grooves to the center of the element, where it travels through the return line to the pump reservoir. The outer element has three sets of fluid passages that connect the outside of the element to a groove at the inside. One set of passages carries fluid into the element from the pressure hose fitting, the second set carries fluid to and from the left turn side of the power piston, and the third carries it to and from the right turn side. When the steering wheel is aimed straight ahead, the valve is in its neutral position. Fluid enters the valve and flows equally to both sides of the steering gear piston into the return line. See Figure 122-15. When the steering wheel and steering shaft turn to the left, the inner element twists on the torsion bar and repositions the valve ports. In this left turn position, pressurized fluid flowing into the valve can only exit through the left turn ports. See Figure 122-16. Meanwhile, the right turn ports align with the return ports too. Bleed off residual pressure from the opposite side of the power piston. Pressurized fluid flowing through the left turn ports is directed into the steering gear, where it applies force to the power piston and reduces the effort needed to turn the steering linkage to the left. See Figure 122-17. As the piston moves, It forces fluid out of the right turn side, and that fluid returns through the control valve to the pump reservoir. Exactly the opposite flow occurs during a right-hand turn. The right turn ports are opened and the left turn ports exhaust to the return line. See figure 122-18. Hydraulic pressure moves the piston up the housing board during a right-hand turn. See figure 122-19. When the steering wheel is released, the spring force of the torsion bar returns the two elements to their natural positions. Fluid pressure equalizes throughout the steering gear and re-centers the piston in the middle of the steering gear. Refer to figure 122-13. Forces acting on the rack piston of an integral power steering gear. Refer to figure 122-14. The rotary valve consists of inner and outer elements. The worm gear is part of the outer element and the torsion bar is part of the inner element. A pin attaches the worm gear to the bottom of the torsion bar to join the two elements together. Refer to figure 122-15. When the steering wheel is in the straight-ahead position, all of the ports in a rotary valve are open equally to the pressure and return circuits. Refer to figure 122-16. During a left turn, the inner element turns so that the left turn circuits are open to pressure and the right turn circuits are open to the return circuit. Power rack and pinion steering. The rotary control valve on a power rack and pinion steering gear is located between the steering gear input shaft and the pinion gear. See figure 122-20. Fluid discharged by the valve travels through external steel lines to either side of the power piston located in the rack housing. A steel air transfer tube allows air displacement between the boots as they compress and expand, since the power piston prevents air from passing through the rack housing. The rotary valve in a rack and pinion steering unit operates in the same manner as the one previously described for a standard steering gear. During a left-hand turn, the control valve directs fluid flow into the left-turn steel line, which routes it to the right-hand side of the power piston in order to move the rack to the left. As this happens, fluid on the opposite side of the power piston is forced out through the right-turn steel line and back to the control valve, where it is exhausted to the return circuit. When the steering wheel is turned to the right, fluid flow is reversed so the power piston moves to the right and fluid in the left turn chamber is exhausted to the return circuit. See figure 122-21. Refer to figure 122-17. During a left turn, the high-pressure fluid helps push the piston along the worm gear, thereby reducing the steering effort from the driver. Refer to figure 122-18. During a right turn, the inner element turns so that the right turn outlets are open to pressure and the left turn outlets are open to the return circuit. Flow control valve operation. The operation of the flow control valve includes the following stages. When the power steering pump begins operation, the fluid from the output of the pump flows into the control valve. The fluid then flows through the orifice, where a pressure differential is formed. The pressure differential results in a higher pressure on the pump side than on the system side. The fluid from the orifice flows into the power steering system and through a passage on the back side of the control valve. See figure 122-22. The fluid on the back side of the control valve is used to assist the spring force acting on the valve. At this point, the combination of the spring force and hydraulic pressure is higher than the output pressure of the pump. This causes the control valve to block the passage to the pump intake. When the output pressure is higher than the spring force, the pressure behind the valve forces the control valve to move. The movement of the valve opens the passage to the intake side of the pump. This allows some of the fluid to flow into the passage. As the pump speed continues to increase, the valve moves more to compensate for the higher pressure and flow. The pressure and flow in the power steering system must remain in the correct range or the steering system components can be damaged. Failure of the control valve to regulate the pressure in the power steering system can result in excessive pressure and temperature. As long as fluid can flow through the system, the control valve can regulate the pressure. See figure 122-23. However, there are times during normal operation when the flow in the system will stop. Fluid flow can stop during parking maneuvers and when the steering wheel is turned to the extreme right and left positions. When the fluid flow through the system stops, the pressure equalizes on both sides of the orifice. This creates equal pressure on both sides of the control valve. Because the back side of the valve has a spring, the combination of the hydraulic pressure and spring force positions the control valve to prevent flow into the pump intake passage. As the pump continues to operate, the pressure in the system builds. If the pressure is not relieved, the system can be damaged. To prevent this, the control valve has a check valve inside it. At a specific pressure, the check valve opens to relieve the pressure on the back side of the control valve. This creates a pressure differential and allows the control valve to move. With the control valve moved, the high pressure is allowed into the pump intake passage. See Figure 122-24. Refer to Figure 122-19. During a right turn, high pressure fluid pushes the piston up the worm gear, moving the sector shaft and pitman arm to provide assist during a right turn. Refer to Figure 122-20. During a left turn, the control valve directs pressure into the left turn fluid line and the rack moves left, see inset. Fluid pushed out of the right turn fluid chamber travels back through the right turn fluid line and control valve to the return circuit. Refer to Figure 122-21. The control valve routes high pressure fluid to the left-hand side of the power piston, which pushes the piston and assists in moving the rack toward the right when the steering wheel is turned right. Refer to Figure 122-22. Low speed float control. Refer to Figure 122-23. High speed flow control operation. Refer to Figure 122-24. Pressure relief mode. In this mode, the steering gear has blocked the flow of fluid from the pump and the pressure rises, which unseats the pressure relief valve. Now, fluid flows back to the inlet through the pressure relief orifice and passage. Variable effort steering. Purpose and function. Variable effort steering systems, abbreviated VES, are designed to provide variable power-assisted steering. The amount of power assist increases at lower vehicle speeds to aid parking maneuvers. Decreases at higher speeds for greater road feel. As examples, General Motors use 4 different VES systems, including electronic variable orifice, 2-flow electronic, speed-sensitive steering, and MagnaSteer. Electronic Variable Orifice System, abbreviated EVO. The main components of the EVO system include the vehicle speed sensor, the power steering control module, the steering wheel speed sensor, the power steering gear, and the power steering pump and solenoid actuator. The actuator is a solenoid-operated pinel valve. Electrical current flowing through the solenoid controls the position of the pinel in relation to the orifice. See Figure 122-25. As the vehicle speed increases, the control module provides a higher current flow and the solenoid positions the pinel to change the size of the orifice. This increased speed results in a reduced amount of hydraulic flow and provides less hydraulic pressure to the steering gear. The control module uses the signal from the vehicle speed sensor to calculate the required amperage for the solenoid. The amperage has a direct effect on steering effort and the flow rate to the gear. As the vehicle speed increases, the solenoid extends the pinel and reduces the size of the orifice. Hydraulic pressure is being reduced as the vehicle speed increases and less power assist is available. The other sensor for the EVO system is the steering wheel speed sensor. This sensor is used to determine if the vehicle operator is performing an evasive steering maneuver. In this situation, the controller increases the hydraulic pressure to assist the operator. The faster the driver turns the steering wheel, the stronger the signal generated by the 1505 sensor. The faster the steering wheel is rotated, the more the solenoid retracts the pinel and enlarges the size of the orifice. This increases hydraulic pressure to the steering gear and provides more power assist for the operator. Refer to Figure 122-25. EVO actuator assembly. Two-flow electronic system, abbreviated TFE. The main components of the TFE system include the power steering pump and solenoid actuator, the steering rack and pinion gear, the control module, and the powertrain control module. The TFE actuator is a solenoid-operated pinel valve. The pinel valve has only 2 positions. Number 1. Maximum assist and number 2. Reduced assist. When the solenoid is provided a ground from the control module, the pinel extends out from the orifice and provides maximum assist. When the control module opens the ground path, the pinel moves in to restrict the orifice and thus reduces steering assist. The PCM provides the control module with a vehicle speed signal. The logic circuits in the control module determine when to energize the solenoid. The solenoid is energized whenever the vehicle speed is approximately 20 miles per hour, or 32 kilometers per hour, or lower and the pinel is extended, causing the power steering pressure to increase. This provides maximum assist and the steering effort is low. When the vehicle speed is higher than 20 miles per hour, or 32 kilometers per hour, the pintle is moved in and the steering pressure is low. This provides reduced assist and higher steering effort. Speed Sensitive Steering System, abbreviated SSS. The major components of the SSS system include the power steering pump, the SSS actuator, the steering gear, and the road sensing suspension control module. The actuator is a solenoid-operated valve that controls the flow of fluid into the chambers of the steering gear valve. As more fluid flows into the chamber, pressure is built against the four pistons that are located around the spool shaft. As the pistons are loaded and pushed against the spool shaft, steering effort is increased. Unlike the EVO and TFE systems, the SSS system uses hydraulic pressure to resist movement in the steering gear. The amount of fluid allowed into the chambers is based on the electrical current flow through the solenoid. The road sensing suspension control module, using the signal from the vehicle speed sensor, calculates the required amperage for the solenoid. The amperage has a direct effect on steering effort and the hydraulic flow rate into the chambers of the spool shaft. As the vehicle's speed increases, the steering effort is increased. The steering effort adjustment begins at a vehicle speed of 20 miles per hour, or 32 kilometers per hour. Magnasteer. Another type of variable effort power steering system used by General Motors is the Magnasteer system. This system uses a variable bidirectional magnetic rotary actuator built into the steering rack. The bidirectional magnetic rotary actuator has no effect on the hydraulic operation of the steering rack. The main components in the system include the power steering pump, the Magnasteer actuator assembly, the steering gear, and the electronic brake control module. The Magnasteer system uses a conventional rack and pinion steering gear and an engine-driven hydraulic pump to provide power assist. The Magnasteer actuator consists of the following: a permanent magnet attached to the rotary input shaft, a pole piece assembly attached to the pinion, and an electromagnetic coil mounted in the steering gear housing. Integrated with the pinion shaft is a spool valve that senses the level of torque in the shaft and applies hydraulic pressure to the steering rack whenever assistance is needed. The electromagnet acts in parallel with the input shaft from the steering wheel to open or close the spool valve. The electromagnet generates variable torque, which can either increase or decrease the amount of steering torque that is needed to open the spool valve. See figures 122-26 and 122-27. To vary the amount of steering assist, the EBCM uses the signal from the wheel speed sensor to calculate the required amperage and direction of current flow to the Magnasteer actuator. The amperage and direction of current flow have a direct effect on steering effort and the flow rate to the rack piston. When the vehicle is stationary, approximately 1.6 amperes of current is flowing through the electromagnetic coil. As the vehicle's speed increases to approximately 45 miles per hour, the current decreases to 0 amps. The EBCM then switches the direction of current flow. Current flow through the electromagnetic coil causes either a magnetic attraction or repelling in the Magnasteer actuator. At low vehicle speeds below 45 miles per hour, the direction of current flow creates a magnetic field that opposes the permanent magnet. The repelling force of the magnetic field assists the spool valve in moving out of alignment with the valve body, and this increases the power assist. With vehicle speeds below 45 miles per hour, increased current provides increased steering assist. At vehicle speeds above 45 miles per hour, the direction of current through the electromagnetic coil creates a magnetic field that attracts the permanent magnet. The magnet helps keep the spool valve aligned with the valve body, and this reduces the power assist and provides a greater road feel. As the vehicle's speed increases, the amount of effort required to overcome the attracting force of the magnetic field increases. With vehicle speeds above 45 miles per hour, increased current flow provides decreased steering assist. Refer figure 122-26. Integrated with the pinion shaft is a spool valve that senses the level of torque in the shaft and applies hydraulic pressure to the steering rack whenever assistance is needed. The electromagnet acts in parallel with the input shaft from the steering wheel to open or close the spool valve. The electromagnet generates variable torque, which can either increase or decrease the amount of steering torque that is needed to open the spool valve. Refer to figure 122-27. A Magnasteer system. Power steering diagnosis. Number 1. A loose, worn, or defective power steering pump drive belt. This can cause jerky steering and belt noise, especially when turning. It is generally recommended that all belts, including the serpentine, poly-V, belt, be replaced every 4 years. If the vehicle does not use a belt tensioner, then a belt tension gauge is needed to achieve the specified belt tension. Install the belt and operate the engine with all of the accessories turned on to run in the belt for at least 5 minutes. Adjust the tension of the accessory drive belt to factory specifications or use the following table for an example of the proper tension based on the size of the belt. See chart 122-1. Replace any serpentine belt if more than 3 cracks appear in any one rib within a 3-inch span. Note: do not guess at the proper belt tension. Always use a belt tension gauge or observe the marks on the tensioner. See figure 122-28. Number 2. A bent or misaligned drive pulley is usually caused by an accident or improper reassembly of the power steering pump after an engine repair procedure. This can cause a severe grinding noise whenever the engine is running and may sound like an engine problem. Number 3. Low or contaminated power steering fluid is usually caused by a slight leak at the high pressure hose or defective inner rack seals on a power rack and pinion power steering system. This can cause a loud whine and a lack of normal power steering. Assist. See the tech tip, the visual test. Number 4. Broken or loose power steering pump mounting brackets. In extreme cases, the pump mounting bolts can be broken. These problems can cause jerky steering. It is important to inspect the pump mounting brackets and hardware carefully when diagnosing a steering-related problem. The brackets tend to crack at the adjustment points and pivot areas. Tighten all the hardware to ensure the belt will remain tight and not slip, which would cause noise or a power assist problem. Number 5. Underinflated tires. Number 6. Engine idle speed below specifications. Number 7. A defective power steering pressure switch, if equipped. If this switch fails, the computer will not increase engine idle speed while turning. And Number 8. Internal steering gear mechanical binding. As part of a complete steering system inspection and diagnosis, a steering wheel turning effort test should be performed. The power steering force, as measured by a spring scale during turning, should be less than 5 pounds, or 2.3 kilograms. Caution: some vehicles use power steering reservoir caps with left-hand threads. Always clean the top of the cap and observe all directions and cautions. Refer to figure 122-28. A typical service manual illustration showing the method to use to properly tension the accessory drive belt. Refer to figure 122-29. A check of the power steering fluid should include inspecting not only the level but the condition and color of the fluid, which could indicate a possible problem with other components in the steering system. Power steering fluid. Purpose and function. The correct power steering, or PS, fluid is critical to the operation and service life of the power steering system. The exact power steering fluid can be found in the following places. On the cap of the power steering reservoir. In the owner's manual. And in service information. Tech tip. The visual test. Whenever diagnosing any power steering complaint, check the level and condition of the power steering fluid. Often this is best accomplished by putting your finger down into the power steering fluid reservoir and pulling it out to observe the texture and color of the fluid. See figure 122-29. A common problem with some power rack and pinion units is the wearing of grooves in the housing by the Teflon sealing rings of the spool, control, valve. When this wear occurs, aluminum particles become suspended in the power steering fluid, giving it a grayish color and thickening the fluid. Normally, clear power steering fluid that is found to be grayish in color and steering that is difficult when cold are clear indications as to what has occurred and why the steering is not functioning correctly. Power steering checks. Power steering checks include the following inspections. Number 1. Check the power steering fluid level. Bleed the air from the system by turning the steering wheel lock to lock with the engine at idle speed. Number 2. Check the condition and tension of the drive belt. If in doubt, replace the belt. Number 3. Inspect the condition of all hoses, checking for any soft hose or places where the hose could touch another component. And Number 4. Check the tightness of all mounting bolts of the pump and gear. Power steering fluid flushing procedure. Whenever there is any power steering service performed, such as replacement of a defective pump or steering gear or rack and pinion unit, the entire system should be flushed. If all of the old fluid is not flushed from the system, small pieces of a failed bearing or rotor could be circulated through the system. These metal particles can block paths in the control valve and cause failure of the new power steering pump or gear assembly. Besides flushing the old power steering fluid from the system and replacing it with new fluid, many technical experts recommend installing a filter in the low-pressure return line as an added precaution against serious damage from debris in the system. Power steering filters are commonly available through vehicle dealer parts departments, as well as aftermarket sources from local auto supply stores. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended flushing procedure. Two people are needed to flush the system. Use the following steps. Step 1. Raise the front wheels off the ground. Step 2. Remove the low-pressure return hose from the pump and plug the line fitting on the pump. Step 3. Place the low-pressure return hose into an empty container. Step 4. Fill the pump reservoir with fresh fluid and start the engine. Step 5. As the old and dirty power steering fluid is being pumped into the container, keep the reservoir full of clean fluid while the assistant turns the steering wheel full lock one way to full lock the other way. Caution: never allow the pump reservoir to run dry of power steering fluid. Severe internal pump damage can result. Step 6. When the fluid runs clean, stop the engine and reattach the low pressure return hose to the pump reservoir. Step 7. Restart the engine and fill the reservoir to the full mark. Turn the steering wheel back and forth, avoiding the stops one or two times to bleed any trapped air in the system. Refer to Figure 122-30. Some power steering fluid is unique to the climate, such as this cold climate fluid recommended for use in General Motors vehicles when temperatures are low. Bleeding air out of the system. If the power steering fluid is tan, there may be air bubbles trapped in the fluid. Stop the engine and allow the air to burp out to the surface for several minutes. Lift the vehicle off the ground, then rotate the steering wheel. This method prevents the breakup of large air bubbles into thousands of smaller bubbles that are more difficult to bleed out of the system. Note: to help rid the power steering system of unwanted trapped air, it is recommended that the engine be cranked and that the wheels be turned from stop to stop with the tires off the ground. Check service information for the specified procedure to follow to disable ignition or fuel injection system to keep the engine from starting. Do not crank the engine for longer than 15 seconds to prevent starter damage due to overheating. Allow the starter to cool at least 30 seconds before cranking again. Sometimes trapped air just cannot be bled out of the system using ordinary methods. This trapped air makes the pump extremely noisy, and this noise sometimes convinces the technician that the pump itself is defective. If the power steering system has been opened for repairs and the system has been drained, trapped air may be the cause. Hose inspection: both high pressure supply and low pressure return hoses should be inspected as part of any thorough vehicle inspection. While the low pressure return hose generally feels softer than the high pressure return hose, neither should feel spongy. A soft, spongy hose should always be replaced. See Figure 122-31. When replacing any power steering hose, make certain that it is routed the same as the original and does not interfere with any accessory drive belt, pulley, or other movable components such as the intermediate steering shaft. Refer to Figure 122-31. Inspect both high pressure and return power steering hoses. Make sure the hoses are routed correctly and not touching sections of the body to prevent power steering noise from being transferred to the passenger compartment. Pressure testing. Use of a power steering pressure tester involves the following steps. Step 1. Disconnect the pressure hose at the pump. Step 2. Connect the hoses of the tester to the pump and the disconnected pressure line. See Figure 122-32. Step 3. Open the valve on the tester. Step 4. Start the engine. Allow the power steering system to reach operating temperatures. Step 5. The pressure gauge should register 80 to 125 psi, or 550 to 860 kilopascals. If the pressure is greater than 150 psi, or 1400 kilopascals, check for restrictions in the system, including the operation of the poppet valve located in the inlet of the steering gear. Step 6. Fully close the valve 3 times. Do not leave the valve closed for more than 5 seconds. All 3 readings should be within 50 psi, or 345 kilopascals, of each other, and the peak pressure should be higher than 1000 psi, or 6900 kilopascals. Step 7. If the pressure readings are high enough and within 50 psi, or 345 kilopascals, of each other, the pump is operating normally. Step 8. If the pressure readings are high enough, yet not within 50 psi, or 345 kilopascals, of each other, the flow control valve is sticking. Step 9. If the pressure readings are less than 1000 psi, or 6900 kilopascals, replace the flow control valve and recheck. If the pressures are still low, replace the rotor and vanes in the power steering pump or the entire pump assembly. Step 10. If the pump is working as designed, turn the steering wheel to both stops. If the pressure at both stops is not the same as the maximum pressure, the steering gear, or rack and pinion, is leaking internally and should be repaired or replaced. Many vehicle manufacturers recommend using a power steering analyzer that measures both pressure and volume, as shown in Figure 122-33. Knowing the volume flow in the system provides information to the technician in addition to that of the pressure gauge. Many manufacturers' diagnostic procedures specify volume measurements and test results that can help pinpoint flow control or steering gear problems. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended testing procedures. See Chart 122-2 for pressure and volume measurements specified by the manufacturer. Refer to Figure 122-32. A drawing showing how to connect a power steering analyzer to the system. Case study: the noisy power steering pump. A customer complained that the power steering on their Dodge Grand Caravan minivan had a very loud whining/growling/squealing noise for about 3 to 10 seconds on cold mornings at startup. The owner had received a quote for several hundred dollars to replace the power steering pump, but then asked another shop for a second opinion. The second shop had experience with this issue and recommended replacing the power steering filter located in the bottom of the power steering pump reservoir. The owner agreed to have the filter and the fluid replaced for an amount far less than the previous quote. After replacing the filter and flushing the power steering fluid, the power steering was quiet and operated like new. The summary: the complaint, power steering was noisy especially when cold. The cause: the screen in the bottom of the reservoir plugs up and starves the pump of oil, causing the noise. The correction: the filter was replaced and the fluid flushed. Refer to Figure 122-33. A power steering analyzer that measures both pressure and volume. The shutoff valve is used to test the maximum pressure of the pump. Refer to Chart 122-2. Power steering pressures are related to the force applied to the steering wheel by the driver. The lowest pressure occurs while driving straight and the highest pressure occurs during turns to the steering stops. Refer to Figure 122-34. Typical power steering pump showing the order of assembly. The high pressure outlet hose attaches to the fitting. The flow control valve can be removed from the pump by removing the fitting. Pump service: some power steering pump service can usually be performed without removing the pump, including the following. Number 1. Replacing the high pressure and return hoses. And Number 2. Removing and cleaning the flow control valve assembly. See Figure 122-34. Most power steering pump service requires the removal of the pump from the engine mounting and or a removal of the drive pulley. Note: most replacement pumps are not equipped with a pulley. The old pulley must be removed and installed on the new pump. The old pulley should be carefully inspected for dents, cracks, or warpage. If the pulley is damaged, it must be replaced. The pulley must be removed and installed with a pulley removal and installation tool. See Figure 122-35. Caution: do not hammer the pump shaft or pulley in an attempt to install the pulley. The shock blows will damage the internal components of the pump. After removing the pump from the vehicle and removing the drive pulley, disassemble the pump according to the manufacturer's recommended procedure. Clean all parts in power steering fluid. Replace any worn or damaged parts and all seals. See Figures 122-36 through 122-40 for the disassembly and reassembly of a typical power steering pump. Refer to Figure 122-35. Typical tools required to remove and install a drive pulley on a power steering pump. Often these tools can be purchased at a relatively low cost from automotive parts stores and will work on many different makes of vehicles. Refer to Figure 122-36. A typical submerged type power steering pump. The pump is housed inside the fluid reservoir. Refer to Figure 122-37. A punch is used to dislodge the retaining ring. Tech tip: pocket the ignition key to be safe. When replacing any steering gear such as a rack and pinion steering unit, be sure that no one accidentally turns the steering wheel. If the steering wheel is turned without being connected to the steering gear, the airbag wire coil, or clock spring, can become off-center. This can cause the wiring to break when the steering wheel is rotated after the steering gear has been replaced. To help prevent this from occurring, simply remove the ignition key from the ignition, make sure the steering wheel is locked, and put it in your pocket while servicing the steering gear. Refer to Figure 122-38. The drive shaft attaches to the drive pulley at one end and is splined to the pump rotor at the other end. The vanes are placed in the slots of the rotor. Refer to Figure 122-39. The pump ring must be installed correctly. If it is installed upside down, the internal passages will not line up and the pump will have no output. Refer to Figure 122-40. The shaft seal must be chiseled out. A thin metal shim stock should be used to protect the shaft from damage. Some technicians drill a small hole in the seal, then thread in a self-tapping sheet metal screw. Then pliers are used to pull out the old seal. Steering rack removal and installation. Step by step. Step 1. The tools required include a tie rod end puller and basic hand tools. Step 2. To help keep the steering wheel from rotating when the steering rack assembly is removed, a steering wheel lock is being used. Step 3. After safely hoisting the vehicle and removing the front wheels, the outer tie rod end retaining nuts are removed. Step 4. Use a tie rod taper breaker to separate the outer tie rods from the steering knuckle without harming the rubber grease boots. Step 5. After moving the protective cover aside, the bolt used to retain the intermediate shaft to the steering gear stub shaft is removed. Step 6. The hydraulic lines attached to the steering rack to the power steering rack assembly are removed using a line wrench. Step 7. After supporting the engine cradle using a tall safety stand, an air impact wrench with a long extension is used to remove the engine cradle bolts. Step 8. Removing the lower engine cradle bolts. This will allow the cradle to be lowered to gain access to the steering rack assembly. Step 9. The screw jack on the tall safety stands is rotated, allowing the engine cradle to be lowered. Step 10. Removing the steering rack attachment bolts. Step 11. The steering rack assembly can be lifted out of the support brackets. Step 12. On this General Motors vehicle, the steering rack assembly is removed from the driver's side. Step 13. Before reinstalling the steering gear assembly, note the notch on the stub shaft. This notch has to be aligned with the intermediate shaft retaining bolt when it is placed back into the vehicle. Step 14. Installation is the reverse of removal. Be sure that the rack is centered and check that the through bolt is properly aligned with the notch in the steering rack stub shaft. Step 15. While using a tall safety stand to support the engine cradle, the retaining bolts are installed. Step 16. A socket is being used to keep the tapered tie rod end from rotating while the retaining nut is tightened with a wrench. Step 17. After the hydraulic lines and retaining bolts have been installed, the power steering pump reservoir is filled using the specified fluid. Step 18. To bleed the trapped air out of the system, the steering wheel is rotated lock to lock with engine off and the wheels off the ground. Check for leaks, then perform a test drive to verify a proper repair. Review questions. Question 1. What are 5 possible causes for hard steering? Question 2. What is the procedure for flushing a power steering system? Question 3. How is a pressure test of a power steering system performed? Question 4. What is an integral power steering system? Question 5. What tool is needed to remove and install a power steering pump pulley? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. A hydraulic system uses what to transfer force from one place to another? A. Fluid. B. Pipes and hoses. C. Different sized pistons. D. All of these. Question 2. High pressure hoses have to be used on the high pressure side of the power steering system because pressures can reach as high as A. 200 psi. B. 750 psi. Circa 1500 psi. D. 2500 psi. Question 3. Some vehicles are equipped to signal the computer whenever the power steering pressures increase so that the idle speed can be increased to prevent stalling during turns at low speeds. What component signals the computer? A. Pressure relief valve. B. Power steering pressure switch. C. Rotary valve. D. Flow control valve. Question 4. Integral power steering gears used for lubrication of the unit. A. SAE 80W90 gear lube. B. Chassis grease, NLGI number 2. C. Power steering fluid in the system. D. Molybdenum disulfide. Question 5. Electronically controlled variable assist power steering systems vary the amount of boost by A. Varying the pump output orifice size. B. Speeding up or slowing down the power steering pump. C. Changing the flow of fluid through the steering gear. D. Bypassing some of the fluid back into the reservoir. Question 6. What can cause hard steering on a vehicle equipped with hydraulic power-assisted steering system? A. Low tire pressure. B. Slipping PS pump drive belt. C. Low or contaminated power steering fluid. D. Any of the above. Question 7. Two technicians are discussing the proper procedure for bleeding air from a power steering system. Technician A says that the front wheels of the vehicle should be lifted off the ground before bleeding. Technician B says that the steering wheel should be turned left and right with the engine off during the procedure. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Question 8. A power steering system should be checked for. A. Power steering fluid level. B. Condition of the drive belt. C. Condition of the hoses. D. All of the above. Question 9. When pressure testing a hydraulic assisted power steering system, the highest pressures were greater than 50 psi of each other. This indicates a problem with the A. pump rotor. B. pump vanes. C. flow control valve. D. defective hose. Question 10. The specified power steering fluid is found where? A. On the cap of the power steering reservoir. B. In the owner's manual. C. In service information. D. All of the above. End of chapter 122.